First Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. As was mentioned, we're thankful for everyone's presence this evening. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to know how happy we are that you're here. And we want to invite you back in each and every opportunity that you may have. As was mentioned, Jeff is out in a gospel meeting, so you're stuck with me this evening. I appreciate the elders asking me to give another lesson. As I always say, I don't know what it is about preaching at your home congregation that makes me so nervous. I could preach anywhere else and not have a bit of nerves, but something about preaching in front of everybody here just gets me nervous. So if y'all just bear with me, we'll make it through. I've been wanting to do a lesson like this for a long time, and I just never had the thought process to kind of put it together until this week. Just everything that's been happening in the world has just kind of sprung it up on me, and it's really just made me mad, really. When we think about the country we live in, and Brother Partain talked about that this morning, about the world that we live in and how corrupt it is. America is corrupt. I think about our founding fathers when they were writing up the Declaration of Independence. If they could foresee the stuff that's going on in our nation today. When we think about, as Tracy preached about a couple weeks ago, about professional athletes and public figures professing homosexuality, and we have people that we're pro-choice, people ought to be able to do what they want. You got professional athletes that are being arrested every day for hitting their wife or their girlfriend, for domestic abuse or sexual abuse. You see in the news, in the media, shootings at schools. You see shootings at business establishments. I think just a couple of days ago, I know in Birmingham they had a UPS worker shoot two employees, killed them, and then killed himself. Then I think there's somewhere else in the United States that an employee came and shot a few people and beheaded a woman. It's just awful. It's just awful, the things that are going on in this nation. And we see parents leaving their children in hot cars just leaving them there just so they can die. And I think about what we've been studying about on Sunday nights in the book of Amos, and how God is sending the children of Israel a warning saying, hey, y'all are not doing right. I'm fixing to punish you. And I just keep waiting for that moment when God's going to come and it's all going to be over here and we're going to be punished. This nation is going to be punished. We have media sources, and the media really has a lot to do with a lot of the problems that we have in this nation. They manipulate some of the stories that they have, and everything is media related now, especially with all the technology. And that's all you see is problems here and problems there. That's one reason why I try not to watch the news, because it's all negative. We have a lack of leadership in government. We're fighting wars in other countries that we don't have any business being over there in, because we've got problems here of our own that we need to fix. It's just sickening to me. And I'm not trying to be funny, but if you listen to 102.1 WDRM, every morning about 7:15, they have a guy come on called Earl Pitts. Earl Pitts American. And every segment he has the same message. Wake up, America. Every segment. And that's what we need to do. America needs to wake up. We need to wake up. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil's got a strong grasp on this nation. A strong grasp on this nation. And most of the things in this nation are headed straight to hell. Let's just be honest. It's headed straight to hell. And I feel sorry for a lot of I'm young too, but I feel sorry for a lot of the younger people that we're going to have to grow up and raise our children in this kind of environment that we're in. Now, yes, this nation has a lot of positives. We're able to be here tonight without fear of persecution. For right now, we don't know what's going to happen. But tonight, I just want to talk about some things, how we can help our future, how we can help our future here as a congregation, and maybe helping others in America maybe wake up. Young people, pay attention. Remember who you are. Please remember who you are. In Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11. It says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. When you look around at a lot of the teenagers and stuff today and the lives that they live, I mean, it seems like that's right now. The younger generations, they don't have any respect. They don't have any respect for authority. They don't have any respect for their parents. They're missing it. They're missing it all. So we as young children here, young teenagers that are growing up, we got to remember who we are and where we came from. You guys have it tough. I'll be honest. Y'all have it tough. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you got it so tough. I know what you're going through. I've been there. I know what kind of temptations happen. I know what you have to deal with from day to day. I started back to school recently, and we just had a societal context of education survey conducted back in 2009, and these are some of the things that was brought up, and someone just kind of blew my mind. Listen to some of these stats. Approximately 50% of 12th graders in America have used illegal drugs. 50%, that's half. So, listen, man, I'm not saying any of y'all have, and I hope y'all haven't, but, I mean, there's about 15 here. So 50% is 8, or 7.5. And they use the legal drugs as not only like cocaine and meth and marijuana, but alcohol and cigarettes and smokeless tobacco. They use that as an illegal drug because you're underage, it's illegal. So about 7,000 students in America drop out of school every single day. 7,000 every single day. 2,000 youth ages between 10 and 19 commit suicide a year. Pregnancy among girls ages 10 to 14 occurs about 1 in 1,000 in America. About 1 million teenage girls in the U.S. get pregnant annually. That's a lot. It's really shocking. There's over 1 million children that are abused every year. 90% of the reported fatalities due to child abuse are children under the age of 8. The average boy takes his first drink at age 11, and the average girl at age 13. So y'all got a lot on you. I mean, it's a lot of peer pressure, a lot of outside things being thrown at you every day. And a lot of these things have to do with the people we associate ourselves with. And I'm glad everybody's here tonight, being where they need to be. In 1 Corinthians 15, we preach on this verse and preach on this verse. But it's right. First Corinthians 15 and verse 33. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. The people we associate ourselves with has a lot to do with the things we're going to do later on in life. I was talking to the fifth and sixth grade class last Sunday about, we were talking about the young prophet and how he ended up listening to the older prophet instead of listening to God, and how we can tend to maybe listen to our friends instead of listening to what God says. And we'll talk more about that here in a second. But the people we associate ourselves with now, and one of the examples that I use, I went to a public high school. I know a lot of y'all go to Adams Bible School, and it's a little bit different than a public school. And so you may not see some of the same things. But when I think about high school and all the friends I had in high school, I can only think of two that I still keep in contact with. One of them sitting right there, and the other one's probably at church tonight in Pulaski. Justin and Barrett. They're the only two guys I talked to in high school. Now, coincidence? They're both in the Lord's church. The people that we may associate ourselves with now in high school, probably more than likely, won't be your friends when you get into college and get out of college and start your lives, because they just don't do the same things we do. They don't believe the same things we believe. And so it's good to go ahead and start weeding those people out. Be involved with the people you see here. I don't have many friends outside of the church. It's just better people. Just better people that you can be with when you're with those of like precious faith. So the people that we associate our lives with have a lot to do with how we are. So we need to remember who we are. Another thing is we need to obey our parents. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's pretty simple. Everybody in this congregation that y'all have parents, they're trying to do the right things. Listen to them. Be honest with you, they kind of know. They know what they're talking about. I didn't want to think that when I was your age. But they know what they're talking about. They've been there. They've been through some of the same things that you've been through. Obey them. Another thing that really bothers me in this country is about parents. Parents, we've got to be involved. We've got to be involved in these young children's lives. A lot of bad things are happening to kids nowadays because their parents don't know what they're doing, where they're at, or why they're doing it. They don't know. They don't ask. And then when something happens, they're like, well, he's just a good boy. He's always done the right thing. You don't know. You haven't been involved. You haven't been there. We need to know what's going on. There's that level of trust that we've got to give them. Yeah, I'm going to trust you to do this. But as soon as they break that trust, we got to be involved and ready to act. I think about, I don't know, it's been about a month ago, about you see it all over the news. I mean, it's still the case when you go to break, they don't have anything on but the news. And so you just tend to watch it. But everybody's mostly heard about the Michael Brown case in Missouri. Well, the boy was shot and killed by an officer. Well, and then they just having uprisings asking for justice for him because he's just a good old boy. His parents get on national television and say, he's just a gentle giant. He wouldn't hurt anybody. He's always done the right thing. He was top of his class. Come to find out, you get video of him pushing a store clerk down, stealing cigars. He was a member of one of the roughest gangs in the town. And he was trying to escape from a police officer, and then he ends up reaching for a gun, and he ends up getting shot. But his parents, well, he's just a good old boy. He's always done the right thing. He hangs out with good people. Apparently, you don't know your son. So we have to be involved as parents. Now think about Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 2. First Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, now Abner, the sons, no, I'm in 2 Samuel, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 2. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Down to verse 17, therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Down to verse 22. Now Eli was very old, and he had heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. Then look down in chapter 3. Verses 11 through 13. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I'll perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Verse 13, the latter part says, "Because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them." That just kind of tells me he knew his sons were bad off, and he didn't do anything about it. It's because he wasn't involved. He didn't pay attention to what they were doing. As parents, and I mean, I've got a two-year-old now. As parents, we've got to be involved with our children. We've got to do things with them. We've got to know what they're doing, where they're going. Yeah, kids, it's like, man, they're all on me. They're doing it to protect you. We're doing it to protect them from something bad happening to them. We've got to be involved. We've got to encourage. We've got to be an example. And the parents, a lot of parents now in the United States, they're just not doing it. You got a lot of broken homes. You got a lot of single parent families. You got kids that don't even know their parents. It's just sad. Next point, we don't need to get pulled between the world and the Word. And Jeff uses that illustration a lot. You know, we got one hand on the world and we got one hand on the Word, and we're just getting stretched to the brink. We see a lot of people nowadays saying, "I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and I'm saved. Now, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing that I can do that's going to keep me from going to heaven. I'm there because Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter what I do here on this earth because God's grace has saved me." False teaching is tearing this nation apart with things like that. Accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. It's all going to be okay. Another thing that's been in the news the past few weeks is, I'm sure everybody's heard of them, the Osteens. Joel Osteen, he is the preacher of this mega church in Texas, about 75,000 members. And recently, he put a post on Facebook, and this is a professed pastor, or a preacher. You know, you would think he would know the Word of God. And this is what he's teaching people. God, this is what he says. "God said in Numbers 11:23, Moses, is there any limit to my power?" Osteen, leader of the 43,000-member Lakewood Church, posted on Monday and then proceeded to expound. He was saying, "Moses, you saw me part the Red Sea. You saw me stop the sun for Joshua, keep three Hebrew teenagers safe in a fiery furnace. Don't you realize that I can bring water without rain? There's no limit to God's power." Now, what makes sense about that? This is one of the most famous evangelists in the United States saying that the Lord talked to Moses and saying, "Moses, you saw me part the Red Sea. You stopped the sun for Joshua." Wait now. Moses died before Joshua became the leader of the children of Israel. And then you saw me keep three Hebrew teenagers safe in a... Moses, you were long gone before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace. So it's obvious to me that you've got the most famous evangelist in the United States that doesn't know the Word of God. You also have false teaching from another, his wife Victoria. Read what she has to say. Now pay attention. As previously reported, Osteen's wife, Victoria, also came under criticism in recent weeks after a video clip surfaced of the co-pastor exhorting the congregation that obedience and worship aren't as much for God as they are for self-happiness. This is what she said, quote, "I just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves because God takes pleasure when we're happy." She declared in the undated 36-second clip with her husband standing by her side and nodding. "That's the thing that gives him the greatest joy. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. Osteen continues, when you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy. Amen. End quote. That's what, I mean, 43,000 people go to this congregation, and that's what they're being told. And I think they're the most famous televangelists as well. So there's millions of people that seen these people profess this. Worshiping God is not about God. It's about you. God just wants us to be happy. It's whatever makes us happy. They've got one hand on the world, and they really don't even have a hand on the word. 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 and 16 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. The things that these people in the world are trying to teach are not what's coming from here. It's not the truth. If we love God, we're going to love the truth. We're going to love the word. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So if we're going to love God, if we're going to love Jesus, we're going to have to love the Word. We're going to have to dig into the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. America has gotten away from this badly. And we need to do our part in kind of getting that back into people's lives. I mean, in our own lives. We've got to start with our own lives first. Being drenched in the Word and getting ourselves out of the world. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. If we put our trust in God, if we put our trust in His Word, a lot of the things that are happening now in America and in the United States and elsewhere in the world, a lot of this stuff would probably go away if all of us just turn straight, if everybody would just go straight into His Word, follow what it says, put our trust in Him, a lot of these things would go away. So let's not get pulled between the world and the Word. We got to help one another. We're all here tonight for the same reasons. We're all here to worship God. We're all here to dig into His Word and make applications in our lives. If you're struggling with something, if you're struggling with a certain sin, we had 216 people here this morning. More than likely, maybe not, but more than likely, a certain problem that you're having in your life, somebody else in this building is probably, or maybe dealing with it as well. That's why we need one another. That's why we need each other. We've got to be here to help each other. Galatians 5 and verse 14. Galatians 5 and verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. We're not here to bite and devour one another. We're here to love each other and take care of each other and help each other. Also in verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We've got to help each other. In chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're here to bear one another's burdens, and we're supposed to restore such a one in gentleness, considering ourselves. You know, hey, this person's got this problem right here. Maybe I need to take a step back and reassess my situation and see, you know, do I have this same kind of problem? Or is there opportunity for me to fall in this same kind of problem that this person's having? Compassion. We got to have compassion and help one another out. James chapter 3. In verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. And that's talking about our tongue, but we know we all stumble. Nobody in here is perfect. I'm not perfect. We're all imperfect beings, but we're all here trying to be better. That's what it's all about. We're trying to be better every day. In chapter 4, in verse 11 of James, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. We shouldn't talk bad about those in the church. We really shouldn't talk bad about anybody. There's people out in the world that may not really know what to do, what's going on. And we may say something bad about them. That's not helping our situation out. Also in James chapter 5, in verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's amazing how prayer helps. You get stressed with day-to-day things and it seems like the world's just kind of weighing on your shoulders. And then you just stop and say a prayer. Before you know it, it's like, that's better. That's better. And that's what we all need to be doing for each other. We need to be thinking about each other, praying for each other. Because the more prayers that are being thrown at each other, for each other, it's going to help lift some burdens on people. You may not know it, but you may be helping a person out. When Brother Carl was diagnosed with cancer, what did everybody do? Boom. Everybody's praying. Doesn't have cancer anymore. God's listening. God's listening to what we have to say. He's listening to our desires and our needs that we need from Him. We need to help one another out. Also in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 8 through 10. And above all things, having fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I'll let y'all know right now, I love everybody in here. I'll be willing to do anything for anybody in here. I love y'all. I've been here my whole life. And so we just got to have brotherly love. We got to love each other. We got to help each other. America needs to help each other. We need to realize that life's not fair. I say that a lot to people. A lot of people think a lot of people in America think they're entitled to something. So-and-so did this to me, blah, blah, blah. Look, life's not fair. Nobody said life was going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be a bed of roses. In 1 Peter chapter 4, we see that from the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 12, it says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19, therefore let us who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. That tells me life's not fair. There's going to be times when you're going to be kicked. And you're going to be knocked down. Not even in a physical sense. You may in a physical sense be kicked and knocked down. You may be kicked and knocked down emotionally. But it's okay. Because the Word of God here tells us, let us who suffer according to the will of God commit ourselves to him. Commit ourselves to God. Just keep that in the forefront of our mind. You know, I just keep getting knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. But God tells me to stand faithful, remain faithful to him, and trust in him, and everything's going to be okay. Finally, the way that we as Christians can help America wake up is that we've got to be the light of the world. And I thought Brother Partain was going to do a whole sermon this morning on the light of the world, but he ended up going on salt, so that's okay. But we need, as Christians, need to be the light of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's where the United States is right now. They're in the dark. Most of this nation is in the dark. And so it's up to us to bring the light. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We were all in the dark at one time when we were weighed down with sin, and before we became Christians, we were in the dark. So we can sympathize with those that may be in the dark. We know what it's like. It's not a good place to be because now we're in the light. In the last verse, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. The Lord says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm going to read verse 16 again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If we're letting our light shine like we should, people are going to see it. They're going to see it. They're going to be interested in it. They're going to want to know, what are these people all about? And that's when we hook them and bring them to the light. I try and pray for this country a lot. I may not be as patriotic as I should, just because I see what goes on every day, and it's just disgusting. But there's things, some of these six simple points that we can do in this congregation and maybe take out into our lives that can help others. If you would, I'd like to go to God in prayer before we offer an invitation. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for another day of life you've given to us. We're so thankful for all the blessings that you've blessed us with. We're thankful for this time that we can be together as your children, as children of the light, and worship you, the Almighty God. Lord, we pray for this country that we're living in right now. Yes, we realize that we have some freedoms that we can enjoy, and we're thankful for that. But we realize also, Father, the overwhelming sin that this country is living in. Help us to be the answer, Lord. Help us to be that light that can bring this country out of darkness. Help us to maybe say or do something that can help prick someone's heart to turn to you. And as we do that, let it just be a chain of all hearts being pricked and everyone turning to follow you. We realize that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, Lord. We ask that all the things that we've done in our lives have been acceptable to you. That way we can have a home in heaven with you. We're so thankful for your Son, Jesus, who freely came down and died on the cross for us, that we wouldn't have to be in the dark. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for all those that are present here tonight, Lord. I'm especially thankful. I love everyone here. We ask that we all strive to help one another, be the kind of examples we need to be, join hand in hand, and be the light that we need to be. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Are you a Christian this evening? I really hadn't talked about what to do to become a Christian. If you're not a Christian, and you need to be one, and you've been thinking about it, don't delay. Get out of the dark. Be in the light. If you are a Christian and you've been struggling and you need our help in any way, we ask you to come now as we stand and sing.